Okay, now time to check in with Jim Rudloff, coach of Marblehead High School football, and they are ranked or seeded number one in the Division III MIAA tournament. Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Thanks, Rick. Good to be back.
Thank you very much, man. Always great to talk with you. And you know, round one is sort of over. Really, in Division III. Maybe I don't want to say an upset, but maybe a lower ranked team, one or two beating the top eight. But for the most part, the top eight has come through intact. And Jim, I want to ask you a little bit about your reflections on how this tournament has been set up, because as I go through all the divisions and talking with coaches, pretty much 1 through 8 has beaten 9 through 16, but in some of the cases, close games. So it looks like the rankings and the power rankings and all that stuff are working okay.
Yeah, you hate to say that. You know, in every occasion, you hate to say that. Well, let's see what happens, and then determine whether or not we did the right thing if 1 through 8 win. You know, that makes us right, because that's not necessarily the answer. But I didn't really have a problem with it. There's definitely a couple of things that stood out to me that seemed wrong, but it's hard to judge any of it when you don't honestly know. It's like, you know, people criticizing something but somebody says in a show or a book and they haven't seen the show or the book. It's the same thing. You know,
yeah.
Unless you've seen all, you know, 30 teams, how do you criticize who the top 16 are unless you know for sure what the strengths and weaknesses of all of the teams are? I think Revere got a short stick, you know, to be 6-2, and that school made a decision. They're in the league they're in. You know, there's not much they could change. The PB thing is a little different. PB chose to go to the Northeast Conference small, you know, and that the schedule of the Northeast Conference small is what killed their rating.
And I
don't know, and I don't want to be, you know, and I apologize to Peabody, but I don't know if they had a choice to stay in the large or anything like that, but certainly going into the Northeast Conference small is going to hurt your rating. You're playing your Division I team and you're going to be playing smaller teams. So, you know, they had to have seen that coming, that possibility coming. And I feel bad for those kids because they're a good team. They're certainly a playoff team, but that hurt their ratings. And so there were things like that, you know, I think we can do a better job on next time around.
Yeah, and on the other hand, you take a team like Danvers, which had sort of, I think they were one game under 500, but boy, they had a very strong strength of schedule, and so they end up winning in their first round. So, you know, I know it's a roll of the dice.
And Beverly, too. Beverly deserves a lot of credit. A game that people thought was going to be a blowout, they gave Marshfield, I think it was, you know, hell of a game.
Yep, yep.
You know, and that was not supposed to be a game at all. So, you know, we'll find out after a couple more weeks and see how all of these teams do. But, you know, certainly I think the North Shore football and Northeast Conference football has really boosted the league image, because for the past 10 years, it hasn't been the case. None of us have done really great in the playoffs in the Northeast Conference. You know, save for Swampscott a couple of years ago in Division 5 or 6. But, you know, for the most part, the Northeast Conference hasn't done well in it. And that's been proven out by the, you know, once you get to the end of the tournament. And it would be really nice to see that we're that much stronger, that a team like Danvers can go into a different part of the state, a different division, different leagues, and maybe not be the best team in the Northeast Conference, but do well. Then it says that, okay, yeah, the rest of the Northeast Conference, we're all getting better, finally.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Cape Ann League is also in that same thing, and also, you know, Bishop Fenwick, St. Mary's, St. John's Prep, all the North Shore schools.
Yeah.
But Coach, now the spotlight has been on you guys in Division III, really, for the last several years, but in particular this year. And I want to ask you about your opening game against Norwood. You're 1-16, but I mean, come on, Norwood? Hello. So tell me a little bit about that game.
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. I, on Monday at noon, I had, you know, however many, you know, 50 cards made up for Wakefield's inside run, their perimeter run, and their team stuff.
Yep.
We had watched, you know, 60 hours of tape on them, and we were ready to play Wakefield. And then the rankings changed on Monday. And so we ended up with Norwood, who we knew nothing about, being from the South Shore, and, you know, I literally was getting online and looking at newspaper articles and things like that just to kind of get a sense of who they were. So our Monday practice was really not against Norwood. We found one YouTube video, watched the first, I think, 10 plays, wrote down those 10 plays and practiced against those, really not knowing anything against about the team. So it was that made it very interesting, and it kind of shortened the week up a little bit, but Norwood was a really good team. They're in a division where they got hurt was sort of what has happened to Northeast Conference teams in the past, and Peabody this year, where the traditionally good teams that they usually play didn't have a great year, teams like Holliston and teams like Hopkinton, and that really hurt their rating. So we felt that they were a top 10 team that was ranked at number 16 because of where their league was at.
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly got that out of them in the game. You know, they were a really good team. Well coached. They had one running back that runs a legitimate sub 4.5 40.
Whoa.
And so, you know, for us, it was a really good game. It gave us a really good challenge. But again, Norwood had a 2-hour bus ride in traffic, and they got there. They had a half an hour to warm up. And you know, I don't know if that's the right way that we should be doing things, but.
Good point.
You know, we'll see. And I think, you know, for a lot of the teams, you know, you look at the game Beverly had, they had a long bus ride. You know, I don't know if in the first round the bus rides are entirely necessary.
Well, Danvers has to go to Duxbury this week, so I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Is this something that is addressed in the off season, Jim? Is there sort of like a critique of how this system went this year?
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that. You know, you'd like to think with anything this important that they go back and do an analysis of how well it worked. And to be honest, Rick, you can't do that just based on people bitching, because if you cross off the list the complaints of everyone that, you know, didn't get in or didn't like their seed because they lost or didn't get, you know, what they expected to get at the beginning of the year, it's going to be literally every single team that didn't make the tournament. They would all be complaining, and that happens every year. Every team that didn't make it is going to complain. What they have to do is look at the things that were not just that someone didn't get in, but even for the teams that did get in, there were teams that were ranked incorrectly, or so it seemed. There were teams that traveled that shouldn't have traveled. You know, with all due respect to Danvers, with their record, was it entirely fair that they got a home game? Now, certainly they earned their ranking and where they were, but, like, that's something that the league may want to look at, because the home game or a bye or something like that, you really got to earn that, like, earn it, you know? And I you know, Coach Nolan's a great coach. No coach has given Marblehead tougher games or more competition than Coach Nolan, so I have the utmost respect for Danvers. But it's just using them as an example. I don't know, you know, who gets the home field advantage or, you know, if they're ever going to assign a bye or anything. You know, I think maybe they need to reevaluate how they do that, because there were a few things that seemed a little off in that.
I was just wondering if there could be more of a regional playoff system before you go statewide, because that's what seems a little strange to me. Because you're playing these schools that, you know, you've never heard of or ever played before. But let's focus on the Norwood game for 1 second, Jim. Tell me a little bit about that game, because I'm looking at the write-up in the Salem News, and I see a couple of names here. I know Drew and Easy, I know the name, but it's very unusual to see that on the scoring sheet for me from one of the touchdown passes and Shane Keough. So tell me about the offense, Coach, in that 21-7 win.
Yeah, I was very happy to open the paper the next day, you know, as a fan, and see names of kids that don't, you know, that are not the normal offensive threats in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not relying on the same people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, making sure. So credit goes to Josh for looking to the other receivers. On the particular play that Drew Anisi was out there, he had, I think that was his second play on offense that he was in the game. The game before that, he threw a nice block. And then opportunity just came up that it was a deep, you know, I think it was a 67-yard play, that we just threw a bomb to Drew, and he happened to be the guy that was open. Shane Keough, has been a receiver for us all season, and we had a couple guys get hurt that really, it's more about, he's getting more reps now, but this is a big dude. He was a quarterback for us, for a couple years, and we moved him to wide receiver. His dad played for, as a lineman for Penn. His older brother, Garrett, was a quarterback for us that went to Wesleyan and then transferred or went, ended up going over to Holy Cross to play baseball, and he's now taking a fifth year at Georgetown playing baseball for them. So,
wow, okay.
And I believe the mom was a scholarship athlete. So this kid's a real good athlete, a real good kid, and I'm just really happy that he got a chance to show that and get a chance to get some reps, some meaningful reps, and get some results out of it. So that's kind of why you're seeing those names, is that some kids got some opportunities and made the most of them, and that's, you know, that's, as a coach, you know, that makes you really happy and pleased.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would imagine for the other guys on the team too, it's okay, we're solid, we're deep, one through X number, whatever, and that's really cool. But let's turn our attention now. Oh, no, never mind, Jim. I got to ask you once again. I'm asking all the coaches this year, please, please, please point out an offensive or defensive lineman who doesn't get enough credit.
For us, it's kind of, I could name any one of the guys on the offensive or defensive line. I think in this particular game, our line kind of struggled a little bit at times. This was an off game for them. But, so there were some plays that were clunkers for us, but we had guys like Ned Fitzgerald on offense, I thought played a good game, and did a lot of really good things on some plays. But he himself knows, you know, there's some penalties that we've got to clean up on the offensive line. Defensively, you know, we always get a good game out of Sam Anisi. You know, he's been really strong for us this year, but also a sophomore, Scotty Campbell's coming on strong too. Scott's a player that has all of the tools that he can be a really good player for us for the next couple of years, and he's really come on strong the last couple of weeks.
And, you know, Coach, when you say it was a bit of a clunker, I mean, I'm sure you got to give Norwood credit for kicking some butt there occasionally. They had to have some pretty good athletes. Did I lose you, Coach? I guess I did. I was about to say, Jim, you mentioned your line struggling a little bit there in the Norwood game, but I also want to ask you about some of that. You got to give credit to Norwood. They must have had some dudes doing something right up front for them, too.
Yeah, Norwood was a really well-coached team. Their coach, one of the things that was really caught my eye about them, as I mentioned, they had a long bus ride. They got off a little bit late. The coach got off the bus, got his guys, you know, on the field and warming up and whatever. And our athletic director went up to him and said, "Hey, do you guys need more time? Do you want, you know, is there, you know, it was a long bus ride you need?" And the coach just said, "Game's at 7, man. Like, we're ready to go at 7. Like, he didn't complain about the bus ride.
Yeah. Cool.
He had his kids ready, and they, you know, and they played a great game. Yeah, they had some dudes. They did some good things, but, you know, we got I think 6 holding penalties in the first half.
Oh boy, okay,
or something like that.
Yep.
So we were in the end zone a couple times, and they took the touchdowns, came back because of the holding plays, and it just, you know, it's too much. You know, that's too much. You know, we've got to be better than that. If we want to, you know, continue to move forward. And they did some really nice things. I don't want to take anything away from Norwood, but at the same time, you know, that's a bit much, 6 holding calls.
All right, Coach. So this week, a very familiar opponent, and I'm sure you have addressed that situation that you just talked about with your kids. You probably don't even need to look at the video, but what have you done this week? What's the game plan in terms of practice with your guys?
Well, Masco is interesting because Masco is, this will be our 4th time playing them in 2021. We played them twice in the spring.
Right.
There was a situation during the spring where we were scheduled to play Salem, and Salem called us up and just said, "Hey, you know, that's probably not a good idea. They had a tough spring, and we were, I think, at the time 5-0, and they just said, you know, is there a way, can we move the schedule around? So some phone calls were made, and some teams agreed to move their schedule around, and we ended up playing Masco instead for a second time. And what we noticed in that second game was Masco literally almost changed around everything they did defensively. So looking, you know, looking now at the games that Masco's had this year, of course, you've got the way that they played us this year. And then you try to compare them against other teams using similar formations and play style. And you see the same thing again, that Masco has, you know, a couple different things that they like to do. And so, you know, you have to expect, you have to just look at the recent history and say, all right, well, you know, we're probably going to see a bunch of different looks. It's not going to be what they played us in last time. That will be one of the looks that we get. And they're going to add some wrinkles in on offense, you know, perhaps go back to some of the trades and things they did in the spring, or, you know, using completely different formations in I formations in the spring and wing T stuff in the fall. So it may seem like familiarity is a good thing, but there's also the point that if you're detail-oriented, then we want to make sure that we're practicing against all that stuff. So in some ways, it's been a harder week of practice because we're trying to practice against the 2021 Masconomet Chieftains, who are four different teams
that we have on tape.
So, you know, it's been interesting.
Does that change up your offensive approach?
Yeah, because the different things that they like to do, they have some different fronts, different things that they do with their linebackers and different coverages that dramatically affect the way that you want to attack them and kind of things you want to get yourself into. So, and they do a great job of it. Their athletes are as good as anyone anywhere. Their coaches do a great job with the kids. Obviously, these are kids that are in great shape, work hard. And so it's been a great game for us. Every time we played them, we've just had terrific games with them.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, so this game now, it's Friday night at Piper. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
All right. And it's 7 p.m. And we don't have to go online to get tickets. We can buy tickets at the gate. Yes?
Absolutely incorrect. The MIAA, in an effort to make sure that all of the money goes into the same place, has deemed it so that everyone is going to buy online tickets. So your great-great-grandmother, who has never used the Internet before in her life, will be instructed at
how to
use her flip phone to order tickets.
Well,
oddly enough, we thought there'd be a lot more problems last week than there were. Everyone seemed to show up with the tickets, and it didn't seem to be as big. But we anticipated and thought that it would be a major problem, but it seemed like everyone got the message, got the tickets okay, and we did have people there, people that were all under the age of 20, to instruct anyone how to use their phone to purchase the tickets if there was a problem.
Okay, Coach. I've taken too much of your time, but thank you so much, man. It's going to be a fabulous, fabulous game on Friday night between Marblehead and Masconomet. And I wish you well, Jim, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Coach. Be well. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That is Marblehead High School football coach Jim Rudloff with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.